What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to the latest episode of our SOS Saturdays experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy. SOS,
I'm not okay. Welcome to our first Saturday. All right, that's about four people excited. Hey, man. All right. Yeah, you should be excited that the Lord has thought about you. Let me tell you something. Whenever you see a church that is alive open, it's a sign that God is thinking of you. What would you do if the church was closed? What would you do if the grocery stores was closed? Everywhere that sold food was closed. What would you do? Yeah. That's why I keep some friends that know how to garden. Amen. And that's why you should be happy you have some friends that's connected to a house that's open. Because you can run in and have refuge. You can run in and get a word tonight. And I'm so happy for all the men and women and pastors and leaders that have swung their doors back open. Because trust me, streaming is amazing, but it's nothing like the touch of God and his people at all. Good to see you. Good to see you. I'm excited about tonight's word. Are you excited? I always get excited about the word when I go to a house where I know the word is going to be good regardless. It's like them restaurants. Anybody got a favorite restaurant that you can guarantee every time you go, if you ordered the same thing every time, it would be good? Amen. Amen. Go to A&W, guarantee you're going to get a nice little buddy burger that's going to taste just like a buddy burger, and it's going to be good every time. And also, can we just make some noise for the people that are working so hard to set up our broadcasting room in the back? Yeah. You can't see them, but, you know, we are, ever since the pandemic hit, we went straight into, we didn't go into flight mode. We went into stream mode immediately. And we've been figuring it out. And now we got a room full of people. I told them they're going to need some incense back there, some potpourri or something. They're going to need something back there, some Febreze. That is not the place to go if you're not working in there. Amen. I'm just telling you. And so, but they're back there setting up that room so we can be efficient and sound good to the people that's watching, because we'll never turn back from streaming. Amen. So speaking of streaming, go and share. Whoever's watching, go and share. Even if you're here, you can go online and just share a link with a friend. Share a link with five people. Because I believe there's a word in here for us tonight. And so, Father, I thank you for the word being anointed, uncompromising, full of faith. Charge your people up. Anybody that's dead right now, Lord, I speak to them and tell them to arise right now. That when they hear this living word, that something will leap inside of them, that will stir them up. I thank you for hope. I come against any error, and I thank you, Father, that we'll be set free and we be transformed by your word. The truth shall set you free. You are free indeed. Shout it out. Say, I'm free indeed. Amen. Tonight's message is going to be called, we've been in this series called The Power Rangers, right, Effie? Right? You remember that. You'll never forget that. The Power Rangers. tonight we're going to talk about this topic, the power of the helmet. The power of the helmet. I believe we are in some times the greatest attack is on our mind. And I'm speaking to Christians. As I walk alongside of leaders, families, friends, the streets. You could see the leaders and the people that are standing in faith, but behind their confession, they're still worried. They're still going through it mentally. What they're saying and what they're thinking is not lining up. And I do believe that the word God really desires for us to actually think like the word, not just speak what the word says. Amen. And I think some of us think that it should stop at speaking. As long as I'm speaking it, then it's his job to make it happen. No, a champion becomes a champion, not because he works out like a champion, but he begins to think like a champion. So when a champion, see, I can work like a champion, I can work out like a champion, but if I don't have a championship mentality, whenever I run into something that's opposing my championship run, I won't know how to overcome like a champion. Right? And a lot of times you're like, oh, pastor said confess, so I'm going to confess. Or elder, pray like this, so I'm going to pray like this. And I assume if you pray like this plus this, then you equals this. No, it doesn't always. If you're not careful, your mimicking will turn into very frustrated faith. It didn't say think like Jesus. It says you have the mind of Christ. I think like Jesus because I have his mind. I don't have his mind because I think like him. Isaiah 60 says this, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have what? Kept you. Depression is a disorder that gives a disservice and it causes disease. Disease. It says, arise from your prostration or the depression in which what? Come on, talk to me. In which what? Circumstances. Say circumstances. How many people know we in the middle of some circumstances right now? We in global circumstances. We are in residential circumstances. Death is everywhere. Sickness is everywhere. Calamity is everywhere. Tragedy is everywhere. Catastrophe is everywhere. All the ease is everywhere. It's everywhere. Say everywhere. It is everywhere. But it says that these things have kept you. Number one, kept you, meaning it has kept you in one place. Follow me. It's kept you stuck. Say stuck. Come on, you got to say it better than that. Say stuck. But it also, number two, kept means that you have found comfort in your depression. It's kept you. If you stay in that place too long, it becomes security. Sickness becomes security. That's how you get people addicted to pain medication or medication, because it's now become a way to live, not a way out of a circumstance. And he says here, arise out of that circumstance in which circumstances depression has kept you, or arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a what? New life. Rise to a new way of thinking. Rise to a new way of overcoming. Rise to a new way of what? Coping. Rise to a new way of walking. And sometimes you can't arise to a new because you have not changed what's around you. Right? Because the Lord tells you to rise to new, but you're surrounded by people, coveting with people who ain't got the same message as you. So you trying to arise to new and they stuck trying to ask where you going. Oh, you think you too good now. Arise to new. And then it tells you, don't just arise, shine. You should be shining. If you knew it, we should be able to tell if you're walking in your new. There should be a glow. There should be a shine. Moses went up to the mount and he came down glowing. What if Moses came down angry? That would communicate that he had a bad time. But he came down shining because he got a new word. He got some revelation. He got a word to give the people, to guide the people, and to grow the people. So if you up in the mountain talking to the Lord, you should be what? Shining. Shining. Say shine. Come on, say shine. Come on, say shine. It says be radiant with the glory of the Lord. You know what I love right here, Bernadette? It did not say be radiant with good circumstances. Wear the glory in the mud. Wear the glory in the mud. We gonna come out of it, but the way you gonna come out of it is his glory. So why wait to come out the mess to put on the glory when he gave you the glory while you in the mess? I don't know who preaching what out there, but the Lord ain't asking you to get perfect to put on the glory. You just need to receive him, and wearing the glory gonna get rid of the mess. You don't wait till it's not dark to turn on the light. You turn on the light because it's what? Dark. You wear the glory because it's messy. And there needs to be a difference between you and the people who don't wear the glory. When I go in the club, I'm going in with the glory. So there can be a difference. So I don't mind if you're mad at me because I'm standing next to the adulteress. Because you should be able to see the glow on me and the rags on her. I don't care what you think about me hanging out with the tax collector. Because what's on me is different than what's on him. God is not asking me to not hang around darkness. He's asking me to go into the darkness with his shine. He's shining. He's shine. His shine shine brighter than your shine. He just be shine, 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 shining. Say arise. Shine. One more time. Arise. Shine. Why? Because your light has come. Your light has come. Your light has come. In the midst of darkness, your light has come. The reason your light has come is because it is so dark. You want to turn that mic off so the battery won't end. The reason that the light has come. I love how the light came while you was in your prostrate and depression. If you're waiting to not be depressed for glory, you gonna be waiting a long time. For your light has what? Come. Say it's here. And the glory of the Lord has risen up on you. He can't say it no more than he said it. He said it about four times. He said arise. He said shine. He said light on you. He said glory on you. In one verse, he told you shine, 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 glory, glory, glory. And if you keep reading, which we won't keep reading that passage, but it says gross darkness covers the earth. Gross darkness is not like outside overcast, like when you watching Batman or something, or Gothic City, or you watching some of these movies that make it look like the Lord's returners, like the whole earth gets really dark at 10 a.m. Here's gross darkness. Confusion is running rapid. Mental illness is at an all-time high. Worry, fear, depression, anxiety is at an all-time high. Sickness, we're not talking about dark clouds. We're talking about cloudy minds. We're talking about fear. Look around you, it's really gross. Read this real quick. The term or terms mental illness It's not a slide for this, so don't worry about it. An addiction. Understand, wherever you find mental illness, you'll find some addiction because people are trying to cope. So you might not be addicted to medication. You might not be addicted to alcohol. But however you deal with your mental illness, you could be addicted to sleep. You could be addicted to sex. You could be addicted to your kids. You could be addicted to the gym. It says, it refers to a wide range of disorders that affect mood, thinking, and behavior. Examples include depression, anxiety disorders, and schizophrenia, as well as substance use disorders and problem gambling. Mental illness and addiction can be associated with distress. So you might think mental illness means somebody losing their mind or they need medication. Let me tell you something. You can be associated with mental illness because you're a high stress person. You stress, you're easily offended. Any little pressure in life, you get bugged out, you freak out, you're tripping, you're anxious. And let me tell you, it don't matter if you know how to hide it. The word of the Lord came to come. You might be able to fool me. You might be able to fool some leaders, but it's some people in here. You hide it well, but you're under distress. You're under duress. You're under pressure. And then every time you come to church, you're hiding it. Whether it's makeup, whether it's abs, whether it's skinny jeans, however you want to do it, you hiding it with a beautiful smile. You hiding it. Whoever I'm talking to, you go to work every day and you're not allowed to be weak because you're a leader. Your father, your mother. And so now we're addicted. We're busy. You're sleeping next to somebody that don't know the extent of your distress. And so maybe you're not on medications. Maybe you haven't lost it, but maybe you're one incident away from losing it. And tonight the Lord is saying, you're not going to lose it if you listen. See, these people that's on the street, these people that are in mental institutes, these people that we see and we stay away from or we talk about or we work. Let me tell you something. Some of these people were doctors and lawyers and high functioning people. And an event happened or something happened in life, a car accident, just something happened. And in a minute, they lost it. And confessing the word is not always going to get it if you don't believe. And also not if you don't only believe, but you also have to meditate on the word day and night. This has to be a way of life, not just a passage or a book or your principles you live by. It can't just be principles. It has to literally be bread. It has to literally be water. It has to literally, before calamity or catastrophe or drought or whatever comes, it has to still be your portion in which you survive. But we're in a world that true change really only comes unless trauma comes. Sometimes when trauma show up, it's too late. It's distress and or impairment of functioning. Symptoms vary from mild to severe. Let me tell you something. If you hang around some people long enough, you be like, mama, you got a mild little, you kind of mild on the mental illness side, ma. You be flashing, right? You don't need medication for sure. You might need some Netflix, a few movies. You might hit a pillow or something. But however you treat it, you just sum off. Little bit. We often think mental illness is or distress or it's only crazy people. Do you know how much mental illness is in the church? Do you know how many pastors suffer with mental illness? The anxiety, the rejection, the abandonment that they experience. How many fathers who think they're failures, whatever it may be, the pressure causes you to not be able to sleep. That's a disorder if you can't sleep. It's disease. You can't sleep. And so you hide behind things to keep your mind. And he says, whoever lets me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you, right? Hey, there's another door. Guess who else knocks at that door? The enemy knocks at that door and he says, whoever what lets me in, I'll come and sup with you. And you have to be careful in these last days of what and who you let in. That's knocking. Good and evil is knocking, right? And the Lord loves you so much, he wants you to choose who you let in. Real love don't force. Real love says, hey, I'm knocking, and your homie right here too, he knocking too. Who you want in? And oftentimes in my ignorant days, of course, I tried to invite both of them in. I got a seat for you, Lord. I got a seat for you too, homie. But then I was talking to a very wise man a little bit ago, and he was just talking about his studies. I'm not going to tell you who he is. But the enemy is very vengeful. Very vengeful. He also is a copycat. He also tries to imitate. And just for cracks, David cut off one of his boys' heads, the devil's heads. Remember the head that he cut off? It was what? It was who? And then later you find that the devil cuts off John the Baptist's head. The enemy is very vengeful. And if you've done any amount of work for the kingdom of light, he's coming for your head. He's coming for your mental real estate. Anywhere hope is, his ministry is to defer it. So if you're a part of being a hub of hope, you best believe that hope deferrers is knocking at your door. Why? Because you've taken people from his kingdom. You're taking people off the block for him, and you are now winning souls. That's what winning souls is all about. Moving right along. Ephesians 6. Put on God's whole armor. The whole thing. The whole ancha what? Lada. The armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies. Say God supply. God supply. That you may be able, say able. Successfully to do what? Stand up. Stand up. Say stand up. Stand up against all strategies. All strategies. And the deceits of the devil. He has strategies and he has deceit. Strategies. He's organized. Organize. 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 He is organized. Darkness is organized. When you're looking at the government of the world, when you're looking at the tent park shutting down, where'd it go? Right back there. So the goal wasn't to get homelessness off the streets. It was just to move it. Strategy. High places. High places. Thinkers. Man, do you know when you're driving into Vancouver, or if you fly over Vancouver, or if you're in North Van looking back over, do you know this place is so beautiful because it was built strategically this way? Because of the way it's built, I'm able to look from Tawasin in a park from Tawasin and see the mountains over here. It's called urban planning. Do you know what kind of mind it takes to plan how a city will be built and to leave enough room for growth? Can't you, have you ever drove through some places in Vancouver? You was like, they didn't plan well for growth. So now what they do, they gotta go try and buy some people out of their property to build some new roads. That'll preach. You never want to be somebody that the enemy is building new roads through. Let him run out of real estate. Strategies. First, before we move forward. Strategies. The enemy attempts to wear you out. He doesn't necessarily attack you. Like his attempts to get you tired is not his best punch. His best punches come when you get tired. So he tries to wear at you. Is it Chinese torture or whatever that torture is where it just, water who? Something like that. Right? It's like a hangnail. You can deal with it for so long. But over time, it just, you just, all right, forget you coming. You coming off of here tonight. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to wear you out. Relief is not freedom. I want you to understand that. Because you have a pause in the attack, it doesn't mean you're free from it. You see that when he was tempting Jesus. He said he's going to wait for a little while to see for another opportune time. The worst time to let up is when relief comes. And I think a lot of times in our battle, in our fight, we let up too easy and we let up too quick. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. What's tonight's topic? The power of the helmet. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. What is the word of God? What does the Holy Spirit use to fight for you? The word that's in you. Why is it important to read the word, meditate on the word, and have a word deeply rooted inside of you? Is so when war comes, the word rises up. You are doing yourself a disservice not reading the word. And if you're merely reading it, you're really doing yourself a disservice, because you're going to think when the battle comes, you should have won because you read your devotion today. No, you got to believe it. You got to think about the scripture, what Jesus thinks about the scripture. And you have to see your circumstances the way he sees your circumstances. Yeah. Yeah, do you see the pandemic, how Jesus sees the pandemic? The way Jesus sees the pandemic is his harvest time. It ain't hiding time. It ain't running time. It ain't scared time. The glory is here. He say, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the what? Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. I'm excited about our next, the power of, it's going to be the power of prayer. Elder John going to kick it off in the morning. Ain't no other person to kick off that besides an adult Swain. Take up. I'll read it one more time, and we're going to get to flight. Take the helmet of salvation. Take it. Take the helmet of salvation and do what with it? Don't look at the scripture. You know, do what with it? Put it on. I want you to pay attention to the screen really quickly. That's it. wasn't dead when his helmet got hit. He got killed when he took it off. And you got to stop being in shock when you just get hit. It's just a hit. And what the enemy want to do is hit you and make you think you got killed. You take the helmet off, and here comes the real bullet. Remember last week we were talking about that play action over here. It's this play that's happening over here to distract you. It's how the wildlife do it. It's how lions do it. You over here just prancing over here on by yourself, and you over here, and they're running you straight into the attack. It's strategy. Even lions and tigers and bears got strategy. Shouldn't a believer have a strategy? We can't just be running around here with our helmet off. Because this is a way to quickly die. You rarely overcome a bullet to the head. See, can I see my helmet? See, a lot of times, see my kids, we got some bikes, right? And so, most of the time, where I came from, man, you just ride a bike. Don't need no helmet. I need a hat, a baseball hat. But here we abide by the rules, and that's good. I wear my helmet. I don't wear this to ride a bike. This is too much. But I just needed a helmet for the example. But we tell our kids, you're not riding your bike unless you have a what? Why? Protection. Look. You're not planning to crash when you put on a helmet. But you're prepared for a crash. What is putting on the helmet every day of salvation? Preparation. I know it gets redundant to read the word over and over and over. Pastor, why you preach the same thing again? Because I'm preparing you. Can't we just get a new word? No. You ain't applied the last one. How do I know you didn't apply it? Because when the time came to be tested because of the what? Word. You had to call elder. No, you don't got to call elder if you got the word. Glad I ain't got no waves and no curl or nothing. It's hot up in here, bro. This is for real protection right here. I just want to get a picture in it just so you can, you know what I'm saying? I'll never ride a motorcycle just because of this helmet. It's too much. I can't even hear if y'all laughing or not. I'm just seeing teeth. By faith, y'all laughing. That's what y'all doing. Amen. I'm too vulnerable right here. Something, if I want to eat or something, I can't do this. But the helmet of salvation, see, this helmet ain't about having fun. Hey, you ready? If safety will cause your cuteness, see, if you worried about being cute in the world, you're going to be just like that soldier. You're going to have to take one to the head. If you come to church and you don't want to praise because you don't want your makeup to run, or fellas, you don't want nobody to think you soft, guess what? You're going to look just like that soldier right there. See, preparation requires you to let go of cute. You feel me? Preparation means you got to be uncomfortable sometime. I can't even. Can I? Okay. Hey, man, this is good. It's hot, bro. Can you get this helmet?
I just wanted to. Glad I got a friend that got a motorcycle. I can use his helmet. But take the helmet of salvation. And I believe what we're going through in this season is an attack against our helmet. This pandemic has been trying to. Remember, what it means for the world is not exactly what it means for the church. The government of the world has a job during this time, but also the government of the kingdom has a job. Right? And if we're waiting on the world to give us strategy as the kingdom of God, we are missing it, because the God's kingdom is not needing to wait for a word from the world. We might have the answer for the world. And the answer for this pandemic is not a virus, a vaccine. People are looking for peace. People are looking for love. Some sicknesses that are coming, some immune systems that are torn down, is simply because of worry and stress and anxiety. And then that leads to how you eat, and that leads to how late you stay up. That leads to you staring at a TV all day. Whatever your means to overcome and get through the day. It says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. This is God's plan for you, to enjoy the full deliverance. The full deliverance. Full, say full. Not a part of it. Not one toe is diseased up, but the other nine toes is healthy. Believe for the one. He goes after the what? One. The nine. He leaves the nine for the one. Like a helmet to protect your what? Thoughts from lies. A good lie needs truth. So you're going to have some deceived people coming to you with the word. But if you listen close enough, you're going to find a few words left out. You're going to see a lot of deception in these days. The Bible warns us from it. Doctrines of demons. There's winds of doctrine. There is so much going on. And look what he says. Like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Who told you that you were that? And take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word. Spoken word. Not just pick up the word. This is what you have to understand. It's very hard to keep speaking something you have trouble believing. Helmet of salvation is protective gear worn to protect the what? Head. Helmet is diminutive from helm. A medieval word for protective combat headgear. Helm, say helm. Helm is a tiller or wheel and any associated equipment for steering a ship or a boat. Helm is something you use to navigate, to steer. Helmet. If you mess with my head, you mess with my navigation. So it's not a good time to make decisions when you're torn down, when you're beat up, when you're depressed. That's why after I speak, or after I pour out, or after you work all day, maybe it's not a good time to talk about business or make decisions. Your kids love talking to you when you're tired. They come sit in your bed at 12:30 a.m. asking you about school clothes. You're better off saying no to everything after 12 a.m. But you got to understand this other word, helm, nautical, rudder. James talks about our tongue being this small little mirror, small little member that steers our life. So when you're talking about your head, Goliath, Why did David have to take his head off? Head biblically equals whole body. Head biblically, see, right now most of us think head is like the cranium, skull. And then we also think mind is brain. Mind and brain is two different things. Your mind is where is your soul. You think, you feel, you choose with your soul. That's why God is trying to win your what? Soul, the part that makes you human, the part that makes you connect to Him, the part that makes you feel danger, the part that makes you laugh, the part that makes you cry, the part where wisdom abides. So you'll see whole body. You'll see in scripture, example, Matthew 19:15, you see, when we anoint someone, consecrate someone, or bless someone, you normally see them put their hands on their what? Heads. And you look in Genesis 49:26, curses would fall on someone's head. When Jesus crushes the head of the serpent in Genesis, He renders a grave, irrevocable blow. An irrevocable blow. What did it say? He will crush his what? Head. What did he say? The enemy's under our feet. He will crush his head. If the enemy can attack your mind, he runs your life. And whatever runs your life, your body follows. You are a body. I mean, you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you are in a body. A lot of disease starts from the spirit-soul realm. Stress, anxiety, insecurities, fear. You're not magnifying God. You're magnifying the enemy, the circumstance. That's why the first thing you should do when you become a believer is renew your mind. To wear the helmet of salvation is to proactively protect, stand on guard, and stay on guard against anything that comes to kill, steal, and destroy all that the blood of Jesus purchased for me. You can't just be tossed to and fro in the wind like whatever happens, it's just meant to happen. And that's the kind of world we live. Well, I guess it's my time to go. Well, I guess it's that was supposed to happen to me. The helmet of salvation, if you look it up, it also means the helmet of the Savior. Literally, putting on the mind of Christ. Putting on them new clothes. Putting on the new man. It literally means the mind of Christ. Protect the mind of Christ. A helmet made of bronze. We often find in the Old Testament, it talks about this armor that was made of bronze. But a helmet made of bronze, which in its later styles covered the entire head and neck with slits for the what? Eyes and mouth. This is very important. It's very important. This is very important. You don't have to do no more stories after you load this one, Grace, because you need to listen. This is very important. This is very, very important. This is not a bike helmet like we think. This is not a baseball helmet like we think. If you look at the armor back then, this was dressed from the neck up. When we talk the head, he is talking neck up. Guard the neck up. The helmet of salvation is for the neck up, not just the cap. No cap. It's what? Neck up. It's what? Neck up. Come on, it's what? Neck up. So when you're talking neck up, the mouth is included. When you wear the helmet of salvation, you are protecting your mouth. When you wear the helmet of salvation, you are also protecting your eyes. Job said, I'm in covenant with my eyes. You just can't look at anything. At least you can't stare at just anything. Ears. And when you look at the eyes, the ears, and the mouth, those are the gates to your heart. You want to know how you get twisted inside here? What you say, what you look at, and what you listen to. If you want to renew your mind, you're going to have to change what you listen to, what you watch, and what you say. You can't stand without a helmet. Stop it. You can't stand for Jesus without the helmet of salvation. Just like it's not safe to ride around without a helmet on. Romans 13 says we must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness and debauchery, not in promiscuity and sensuality. We're in a very, very sensuality-driven society. We just want what feels good. So for the Christian, we want to go wherever miracles are happening, like people coming to church ain't a miracle in itself. We want to go where legs are growing, like a person waking up this morning ain't a miracle when people dying every single day. Like breathing alone is not a miracle. We want gold dust. We want all kinds of stuff. We want flat tires to just supernaturally air get in them. No, we've had people pray over tires. No, you just need some air. It says not being argumentative. Listen, he warns us against being argumentative or jealous of others. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for indulging the flesh. This is, when you're talking about putting on the helmet of salvation, this is the knowing of his sowing. This is where James says to us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that whatever your trial is, you need to know the word that's meant for that situation. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I want you to see this. Knowing that what you're going through is meant to produce something. It's going to produce life or death. But where is knowing? Where does knowing take place? Talk to me, all y'all smart people. Where does knowing take place? In the mind. And the word comes immediately, the enemy comes immediately to steal the what? Word from out of here. Why? Because if he steals the word, he steals the helmet. Proverbs 23, for as he or she thinks in his heart. When the Bible's talking about heart, it's not talking boom, 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 boom. It's talking about your soul, your thinker, your feeler, your chooser. As you continuously think, so are you. If you think you're not worth it, guess what? So are you. You think you're ugly? You think you don't qualify? You think you're gonna die early? You keep thinking that? So are you. The enemy is looking for unhealthy thought lives, hopeless souls, lifeless conversations, fearful plans, and rushing doubters. The enemy is looking for unhealthy thought lives, hopeless souls, lifeless conversations, fearful plans, and rushing doubters. Fearful plans, plans that are based in fear. Oh, this is what I'm gonna do because I ain't gonna make it if I don't do this. I'm gonna be a failure if I don't do this. If I don't get this type of job, then I'm for sure gonna be look like this. When you begin to plan out of fear, planning out of fear, you're not steering your life well. Nothing out of fear is meant to produce life. And rushing doubters. Rushing, just hasty. The enemy comes to take advantage of you. But he comes to take advantage of your weakness. He comes to take advantage of your weary. He comes to take advantage of your ignorance. The enemy comes to make suggestions. Might I suggest to you that God could be keeping something from you? You should go ahead and eat from that tree, because I suggest that God is trying to hide something from you. He's been using these tricks from day one, and the Lord put them in the Bible so you can know his game. Man, if I don't take this opportunity, I ain't gonna never, ever get this opportunity again. The enemy comes to make suggestions. What is he trying to do? Again, that's not the attack. The suggestion is like that bullet, the first one. Oh my God, am I dead? Let me take my helmet off and feel. Instead of waiting to see if I pass out. What'd he say? Go through it. And he, oh my God, I'm still here. And then when you discover you're still here, guess what? You're still in the middle of the war, you go back to fight. The enemy likes to plague us with doubts about our salvation. He likes to keep us constantly questioning our whole walk with Jesus. We never enter rest. We're just always questioning, reasoning, doubting. He's always trying to get us to question God, question our faith. Is this really meant for me? Did I really hear? Is this, are you sure? Well, God, if it's your will, I'll do it. And we could move a lot more faster, not in the sense of rushing, but we could be in rhythm with God if we kept our helmet on. What if you allowed the enemy to cause you to doubt God about your salvation? Is healing really for me? Is wealth really for me? Is my own business really for me? Is having children really for me? Huh, God, you sure? You sure I'm supposed to be joyful? Like, I know about being happy, but I'm supposed to have problems, right? Isn't that what they tell you? If any good thing is going to take you to go through some hell. No, because there's times I wasn't going through hell and God just dropped it on me. Dropped it like it's hard. Right? See, that's where we get it twisted, because whether you're doing good or bad has nothing to do with what God has for you. The enemy needs your participation. He needs your participation. I don't know about you, but I've participated with darkness a few times 10. I've helped the enemy out a few times. How do you help him out? Decisions you make. You fall into his snare, his baits. Come on. But I love the Lord. He'll expose the baits if you listen and pay attention. Cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries. Sion, can we get the house light in here? I don't like this sexy vibe. I really don't. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, like people, you guys are disappearing as the time goes on. That's scary. Casting the whole of your care, all your, what'd I say? Don't we think that God can't handle some of our stuff? You can't handle that one, God. It don't matter what you've done or how much you've messed up. There's nothing that God cannot handle. This is why he says cast it. Because the way he wired you and created you, you were not made to keep it in your, you know, that he's your external drive. You need to empty. Look, this is what you do. Instead of emptying your computer, you buy more cloud space. No, don't buy more cloud space. Empty it. It's not meant to hang in the cloud. Okay, that's equivalent to you forgetting about a problem. That's equivalent to you putting it off on the side. And the Lord says, no, empty your computer. I have gigabytes, I have terabytes that can handle all of your stuff. You were not, you and I were not meant or created to carry the stress that we carry. Why are you holding on to it? Here you go. You were made to think that if you don't carry it, you don't care. You ever argue with somebody that's like mad? And you like, calm down, it's gonna be okay. No, I don't wanna calm down. They think you don't care because you're not as angry as them. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I am laying, he said, he didn't say don't care, he said don't carry. I'm trying to help somebody out. I'm trying to help you out, Effie. Effie turned around looking at everybody. That's integration for you right there. And she's like, hey, how y'all doing up here? Amen. Everybody here. He didn't say don't care. He said don't carry. Can I help somebody? He didn't say don't care. The weight of when you carry it, that's where sickness and disease comes. Not because you care. Jesus was moved with compassion. He cared. But you're carrying, listen, you're carrying other people's baggage. You're carrying care for people that don't care. They're not even carrying it how much you carrying. They don't even care about changing as much as you care about them changing, but you constantly carrying the burden of their lives. And that brings stress. And you're bombarding heaven about people that God says, let them go and give them to me. Might I challenge you? The people that you've continued to bombard heaven about, you're carrying. God knows you care. But he's trying to free you from carrying their lives. You were not wired to carry people. Jesus carried the cross. He's died for it. He's praying for you. There's a difference between caring and carrying. It's okay to care, but when you start carrying, especially carrying for too long, because you got your own bags to carry. For he cares for you affectionately. And he cares about you watchfully. Watch it. He says, be well balanced. Here we go. Same context. I was going to give you just this scripture, but something said bag up because it's same context. Your worrying causes a drunkenness in your life. Your worrying causes a drunkenness. So you laugh at the dude walking down the street like this. You look at your dad a disgrace for drinking. Your family members. But that's how you look in the spirit realm to darkness. Because you ever try to carry around a bunch of weight? Trust me, you ain't walking straight. I got it. Prideful. I got it. You ever have too much and then somebody try to help you? Nope, I got it. And you banging through the hallway. Dun. I can help you if you just give me the smallest bag. Nah, I'm good. Get out the way. Sound like some of our conversations with the Lord. I got it. I can handle this relationship. I can make this work. Okay. Whenever you're ready. I got it. Cool. And he just watches. And he says, be vigilant. That's a war word. And he says, be cautious at what? All times. You have to be careful with what's a distraction. I'm telling you, a moment can deter you for a season. I done been in a relationship. I done spent money. I done invested in something. I done said something. You can say one thing to someone that loves you, and it can cause you or them to not trust you for a whole season. One word, one hit, one relationship, one anything can turn into a whole season of stuff you did not, because you want to carry it. He said, watch at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, he roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and what? Devour. He's trying to seize upon you. He's trying to seize upon you. And this is what the Bible says, withstand him. It didn't say run. It say withstand. Stand with him. Don't hug him, just stand. You ain't even got to talk to him. Just wear the glory. Stand. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Let me tell somebody, you're not alone. Everybody in this room going through something, even Aaliyah. Aaliyah, daddy back there asleep. You got to pray for daddy back there asleep. Look at him. Somebody take a picture. Somebody take a picture of him. Hey, Bernadette, go take a picture of him. Go take a picture. He deep in it. Go ahead. I'm going to keep preaching him. But get that picture. Get that picture. I ain't playing. Right in his face, though. Knowing that we're working on our sleep cam. We're working on a sleep cam. We have a sleep cam. It was coming. Knowing that the same identical sufferings, you are not alone. Look at your neighbor, say, you're not alone. And then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, after a brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ. It's about the glory. He's trying to crown you with glory. He wants the glory to shine, will personally and powerfully restore you. And he will take it upon himself to restore you, but you gotta what? Stand powerfully. Stop trying to stand changing the circumstance. Let it fall, let them leave, but stand. You and make you stronger than you ever been. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up. So he will powerfully restore you. He will restore you stronger than ever, and he will firmly put you in place and build you up. A building is most vulnerable while being built. You ever drive by some of these places when it's storming and raining? There's no roof on it yet. There's no walls on it. Equipment can be damaged. Projects can be called off because it's not built yet. Somebody trying to live in that house while it's not built yet will not be able to weather future storms. You got to know how to live in this new man. So you got to go through seasons being built up. Say built up. And he says, and he has all the power needed to do this. Needed to do this. He has all the power needed to do this. Hold on. Let me help you. A building is most vulnerable while being built. I want you to see this. Christ will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Who wants to be stronger than ever? You understand this, that you have to keep your helmet on. We're in a season where so many people are taking their helmet off. So many people is walking away from the faith. So many people, not even a part of the faith, but doing their own thing out there and changing their identities and wondering and wishing and washing. But the Lord says, keep your helmet on. If I see a brother take his helmet off, I got to try to help him. If I'm called to do it, help him keep it on. Why? Because look, this dude that had his head blown off was around other people with ammunition. You could be sitting right in the church. And that's why it's important for us to have the Spirit of the living God in us so that we can look past people's smiles. And maybe we don't go ask them, hey, you okay? Maybe God just puts a specific prayer to pray for them. We can't be a church just going on about our business when there's people sitting next to you with their helmet off. And maybe you were meant to be to cover people so the enemy sees your helmet on while you're covering someone with their helmet off. That's what Jesus does for you. You have the access you have because of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. He has the power to finish. He has the power to see you through. I think tomorrow, as side by side, as you talk about prayer, I'm going to talk about this mental deal. Because the tedious, the little arguments, the little complainings, just these little nicks and necks, just trying to wear you out. Here you go driving home, thinking wrong, listening to a worship song, can't even get into it, reading a word and it's boring to you now. Especially people that pour out. When you're vulnerable, he's at you. But let me tell you, those soldiers were tired. But I don't care how tired you are, you can't take your helmet off. After I finished preaching, at the end, man, by the time we done with the third service, I'm done in my mind. Like, I can function, but I'm done. But guess what? I still gotta be on. The mind of Christ is never off. So when you keep on the helmet of salvation, guess what? When you are weak, he is what? Strong. When you are insufficient, he is sufficient. And that's why you can't do this thing in your own might or your own power, but by his what? Spirit. Because when you can't go any further, he will take you the extra mileage. Right? He says, after you've done all that you can do, he says what? Stand. And what? Stand and keep on what? Standing and standing and standing. Tell your neighbor, after you tell your neighbor this, you're going to give God a big old shout. Keep on standing and I'm going to stand with you. Give God a big old hand, a shout of praise. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that all of our faculties work. Declare this, say, my mind is good. Come on, say, my mind is good. My mind is well. I come against the spirit of fear, the spirit of bondage, slavery. I am a child of God. I have the mind of Christ. No weapon formed against my mind shall prosper. In Jesus' name, I will never, ever, ever take my helmet of salvation off. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I am a child of God. 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 One more time. I am a child of God.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTLChurch. And join us next time as we dig into another powerful word. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man. S-O-S-O-S-O-S-O-S, I'm not a